Well, let's go to Europe right now. The European Union is on the docket as we begin our conversation with broadcast partner Rob Congdon. Dr. Congdon is a man on top of what's happening in that part of the world. So, Rob, let's get right to it. As we think about what's going on there, the G7, and notice I say G7 instead of G8, and President Obama at the European Union this week, that's what's been going on in that part of Europe. Talk to us about what has been happening.
Well, they've obviously been talking seriously about Russia, the Ukraine, and what's happening there. They are discussing possible new sanctions. President Obama has been warmly received by the people in Brussels, and my guess is that part of what they're doing is to make him feel like he's the one to be the spokesman, because they would rather have him against Russia than the EU against Russia. So they're meeting, they have excluded Russia, they're talking about financial sanctions, and so obviously they didn't want them part of the G8 meeting in Brussels.
And thus then the G7 meeting. Very interesting there. Well, let's talk about Crimea's gone. The Russian troops are massed at the border. I think it's about a 1,400-mile border with the troops all along the border ready to come in at any moment. Ukraine seems to be in somewhat of a problem right this moment.
Absolutely. Russia is ready. They would like to see at least half of the Ukraine be under Russian control or influence. As we've said many times, the Ukraine is a major buffer between the European Union and NATO and Russia. Russia fears where NATO is moving. I'm doing a study right now showing the progression of NATO and the EU as it's moved closer and closer to Russia. Russia historically saw Napoleon, saw Hitler come that exact same path, so they're nervous. The Ukrainian government, they can't seem to settle on leadership. It's as so often the case. There are many groups trying to decide who should be the power. Russia cannot accept an unstable Ukraine, and therefore, as you said, they're on the border. They're wondering whether they should move over and come into at least eastern Ukraine, which is heavily Russian in its people and its mindset.
So the ethnic community there would fall right in line with the society in Russia, should the Russians and should Vladimir Putin make that decision to go in and take, at least as you say, the eastern section of the Ukraine.
Absolutely. As I've shown in this recent book we've done, half of the Ukraine traditionally has always thought of themselves as Russian rather than Ukrainian. Ukrainian is a country that's been divided through its entire history. Independence has been just short-lived now, so we could easily see that split, and I personally think that's what's going to happen. The rest of the world will cry out and object, but Russia is going to move because Europe, they need Russian energy. They can't get too strong against Russia.
You know, it's very interesting. We were just a moment talking about the G7 instead of the G8, leaving Russia out, of course, in that meeting. But there are a couple of countries, I was a bit surprised on one of them, have rushed to Russia's side and to help rally around them, Brazil, China, and India. Now, I can somewhat understand China and India, but why Brazil? And talk about these three nations and their support for Russia.
Well, that's a little harder to understand, I agree. Brazil is an interesting country. It's been somewhat independent of many of the other movements of South America. It doesn't have quite the ties to Europe as much, and I think Brazil is on the rise. They're looking at economics, and so they're recognizing that there is some good ties with Russia. Russia is on the move economically. It is moving in the influence around the world, and it's not surprising that certain countries would want to align with it, especially the bottom line of the Ukraine situation and what's causing this is the idea it's really the European Union versus Russia in the long-range future.
What about the fact that India and China are getting involved? They're out there kings of the East, as talked about in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12. Both of these are massive populated areas and states, the two largest in the world. Does that have anything to do with assisting Russia in the end times as you can see it?
Well, as I see it, first of all, I look at the European Union today, and then I look at the Bible. The European Union has very little interest in India and China, other than where there's economic conflicts or competition. So we would almost guess that the lines could be drawn between these two groups, and therefore we would expect that India and China would be more aligned toward Russia and its ultimate allies that would be opposed to the EU and opposed to Israel ultimately. So it's not surprising. China is facing many of the same economic problems and cohesive problems that Russia is. So, you know, the old story, birds of a flock, you know, flock together. They have some common interests. India is rising economically. They want to see where Russia's going. They want to learn from Russia.
Talk to me about that booklet that you've written on the subject. In fact, the bottom line, Russia and the EU, which could most likely be the revived Roman Empire, they have to be separate entities in the end-time scenario, don't they?
Well, absolutely. We've written a booklet, a very timely booklet, where we compare Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is the Battle of Gog Magog coming against Israel, showing that the Ukraine is one of the key allies of Russia in that prophecy. And we cover pretty much the history of how the Ukraine's come to where it is, how it's a very natural conflict between the European Union wanting to be the restored Roman Empire, and that would include part of the Ukraine, and part it would not include. So we expect to see Ukraine divided. We discuss this, and we show especially how it really setting the stage for that fulfillment of that prophecy and shows it's really viable in our day for Jesus Christ to come for the church, to remove it. Then the way we see it, the Gog-Magog battle, the tribulation. So we've tried to explain it, make it simple, and see how the scriptures say these are exciting times to be in.
I remind our people how they may get a copy of that booklet.
You can get it from our website, congdonministries.org. And Congdon is C-O-N-G-D-O-N, ministries.org. And I can order it through there, and they'll get it in a few days.
Just one more quick question for you, Rob, if you will, before I let you go. Looks like the Austrian politicians are comparing the European Union to the Third Reich under Adolf Hitler some 65, 70 years ago. The Jews are upset about that. There's no connection, is there?
I only see one connection, but it wouldn't involve the Jewish people. The connection is Hitler's Third Reich was to bring in the millennium. His view of that European Union restored under his leadership, the third millennium, third kingdom, that's the only combination with the EU. They want to do the same thing. But I think this was a little case of people getting a little overexcited and trying to use sort of inflammatory language to try to stir the politics of Europe and try to hinder certain groups that, while some of the groups are anti-Israel, I don't think the comparison is fair at this point.
Dr. Rob Congdon giving us insight on the European Union activities unfolding politically that are setting the stage prophetically for the biblical scenario for the end times found in God's Word. Rob, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
We'll look forward to it. Lord bless. Bye.